Around 60, a windy day, then colder again with the next front on Friday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The Montgomery County Commission passed a proclamation in support of an ad valorem tax increase Tuesday night. Now it's up to Alabama lawmakers to pass the proposal in the legislature before it could go to a vote from the people. The Salvation Army of Montgomery is now one step closer to moving from its Maxwell Boulevard location. The organization has signed a memorandum of understanding to sell its buildings and property to the city of Montgomery and then purchase a new building from the city. And Alabama Arise is calling for an end to Alabama's grocery tax. The group says it's a tax on basic survival. Alabama is one of only three states that has a grocery tax. There's a bill moving through the State House that would repeal the 4% grocery tax if it's passed. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Let's face it. Credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I take my daughter and her college friends out for sushi. Here's my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 20% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Want an even lower interest rate? Apply today at lightstream.com/news and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/news for an additional discount. lightstream.com/news.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/news for more information.
I'm Beth Kellum. There are people who want me off the Court of Criminal Appeals because they think that someone else will be softer on criminals or replace criminal justice with social justice. But that's not what serving as a judge is all about. A judge's job is first and foremost to respect the Constitution. That means making sure the punishment fits the crime, and it means following the law, not legislating from the bench.
Beth Kellum brings decades of criminal and appellate law experience to the bench, and Beth Kellum's seen it all.
When you've been around criminal law for decades, you've heard everything. That's where experience counts.
Beth Kellum has the intelligence, the courage, the experience, and conservative values Alabama needs on the Court of Criminal Appeals. Re-elect Beth Kellum. Beth Kellum. Beth Kellum for Court of Criminal Appeals. Paid for by Beth Kellum for Court of Criminal Appeals. Box 241511, Montgomery, 36124. BethKellum.com.
The conservative outsider for U.S. Congress in Alabama's 2nd Congressional District is Jeff Coleman.
Well, the campaign's almost over, and charges are flying. But here's the truth. The United States military still uses our moving services all around the world, every single day, and has for 70 years. I'm looking past partisan politics to support our military and help President Trump build that wall.
Jeff Coleman's the real deal conservative in this race. He's been endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation, the Business Council of Alabama, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's a conservative businessman, not a politician. And Jeff refuses to play political games.
Tiff and I have loved meeting you, and I'd sure appreciate your vote.
Absolutely.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. Let me bring in our call-in guest today. She is the chair of the House Republican Conference, and the third highest-ranking Republican, highest-ranking female in the Republican side of the House, Liz Cheney. Liz, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Dan. I really appreciate it. Great to be with you.
I'm sorry that it took so long. We have so many political spots. We have a primary, as you know, coming up next Tuesday.
That's right. No, I appreciate it. Those are important ads.
Well, you're calling in for a particular reason. Tell me why you're calling in today.
Well, I'm calling in because I am very proud to be very strongly endorsing Bradley Byrne for the United States Senate. I have had the opportunity to work with Bradley on the Rules Committee last Congress, on the House Armed Services Committee. He is just one of a very sort of small handful of members that I would say absolutely is somebody who leads the other members in the House, somebody who's a very dedicated, committed conservative, somebody who has a strong record of working with supporting the president. And just he's really absolutely first rate and somebody that will do a tremendous job for the people of Alabama. And I'm very proud to be supporting him for the United States Senate.
How important is it to you that someone has knowledge of the legislative process moving from the House to the Senate?
Well, I think that is critical. I think this is absolutely not a time to send somebody to Washington who doesn't have a record, somebody who you don't know how they're going to vote. You don't know what their relationship is with the president. And I think that, unfortunately, would be the case with Coach Tuberville. And I also think it's not the time to send somebody who's got a lot of baggage with respect to the president. And it's not personal, but, you know, with all due respect to Senator Sessions, you know, that is a relationship that I think the folks of Alabama have got to wonder how effectively, if at all, he would be willing to and able to work with President Trump. So, you know, I have worked very closely with Bradley, in particular on the Armed Services Committee. I've watched him stand up for what's right for our military, stand up for what's right for Alabama. I've watched him, you know, go toe-to-toe, for example, with Speaker Ryan last Congress to make sure we got the resources we need. He is just absolutely somebody who's got the courage of his convictions and will fight for what's right.
Let me ask about things that are about to happen in Congress. We have the reauthorization of FISA that's coming up. I think it's March the 15th. Tell me how you think, in light of what's happened with the FISA warrants that looked like they were abused, what do you think is going to happen on that reauthorization?
Well, I think that we absolutely have got to reform the process. I think that the FISA process is one that is important. There are obviously different parts of it that are important. But I think it's really crucial that we make sure that what happened in 2016 and we make sure that when, you know, the Justice Department or the FBI goes to the FISA court to seek a warrant on an American citizen, that there are provisions in place to ensure that, you know, they're not targeting an opposing campaign, as seems to be the case here. And so there are parts of the FISA statute that are not controversial, and those are actually the parts that are up for reauthorization. But having said that, I think it's going to be very important to use this opportunity to get some fundamental reforms. I mean, I happen to think, for example, that if you're seeking any sort of surveillance on someone associated with a campaign, that the Attorney General himself ought to have to approve that. I think that is such a fundamental First Amendment issue for us. That you got to make sure the Attorney General has approved it. I think that, you know, there ought to be transcripts of the FISA court proceedings. I think there probably should be some oversight so that the intelligence committees in the House and Senate get access to those transcripts. I think there are a number of things that we need to look at doing in order to make sure that we're protecting people's civil liberties.
Would you be for an adversarial role in that process where there's somebody that is going to be an adversary arguing for the person who's not there to argue for themselves?
I don't look at it as an adversary as much as somebody who is there to make sure that if it is an American citizen, that, you know, that they have some voice. Now, that is not a defense attorney. These proceedings obviously are classified. They're confidential. But I think it is important to make sure, you know, if you look at what happened with respect to Carter Page, you know, you had the Obama administration seeking the subpoena, and they did it on a number of occasions. They extended the surveillance, and they were using a document that had been paid for by the Clinton campaign. And I think it's important that that not happen again. So there are a number of different proposals. A number of them were offered as amendments this morning, actually, and a markup in the Judiciary Committee. We'll see where those go. But I think there's pretty broad agreement that we've got to have reform.
Where are the Democrats on this? You mentioned the Judiciary Committee. Where would Nadler be on something like this?
You know, I think this is an issue that we ought to be able to have bipartisan agreement. I mean, it's become, the whole system has obviously become so politicized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee being one of the impeachment managers, he doesn't have a lot of bipartisan credibility. But I think that we need to find a way to say, look, this is about the national security of the nation, and we ought to be able to come up with some reforms that we can all agree on. So I hope that's where we'll go. I hope that's what will happen, and I hope people won't politicize this.
Let me let you put on your speculation glasses here. How do you think the Republicans will do with the House in this election?
Well, I feel very good about our chances. I think it's going to be a tough fight. I think you're going to see the Democrats put a lot of money into a lot of races. You may, you know, likely see Bloomberg himself continue to put a lot of money into House races. But the American people watching this election and looking at the possibility that Bernie Sanders is going to be the Democratic nominee, I think are going to, you know, be very clear in expressing their view that we are not a socialist country. And when you have the top of the ticket for the Democrats, where every one of their candidates has said they're for Medicare for all, every one of them has said that that ought to extend to illegal immigrants. Only one of them, Klobuchar, who is not ultimately going to be the nominee, said she doesn't want to have a socialist at the top of the ticket. So I think that the Democratic Party right now has really come under the control of the most far-left radical elements in their party, and I think that is absolutely going to be a very clear choice for people, and I think it's going to help us get seats back in November and help us get enough back that we can take the majority.
How much have you seen of a change since your tenure? I mean, you spent a lot of time in Washington over your life with your working in the State Department, your dad campaign and things like that. How much of a change have you seen in Congress over, say, the last 10 years?
Well, I have seen a real change on a number of issues. I would say on socialism, obviously, the fact that the Democrats really are embracing socialism. I think Bernie Sanders is actually a communist. I would not have guessed that we'd be to the point where that's who they're nominating potentially. I think you've seen a real change on issues related to anti-Semitism as well. The fact that they have members like Ilhan Omar, who has just really spewed absolute hatred, and the Democratic leadership in the House won't put a bill on the floor to condemn her. That's amazing to me and very concerning that that's the point we've got to. I also see it with issues of life. Just yesterday, United States Senate, the Democrats refused to support a bill that simply says if a baby's born alive after an abortion attempt, you have to provide life-saving medical care to that baby. And, of course, we've tried to bring that on the floor of the House. The Democrats won't let us bring that up. I mean, that's an amazing thing when the Democratic Party won't even vote, to ban infanticide, essentially. So they really have gone very far to the left on a whole range of issues. And we saw on just the defense issues, for the first time in something like 58 years, the National Defense Authorization Act was a completely partisan bill when it passed out of the House. It didn't get a single Republican vote because the Democrats have turned everything into a partisan weapon. And I think it's not good for the country. It's why we got to make sure we fire Doug Jones and elect Bradley Byrne to be the senator.
I like that. How big of a difference would it be of the Republicans running the House, just as far as how the country would run, in your opinion, if the Republicans were doing it versus the Democrats?
Well, I think that I'm very optimistic that President Trump is going to be reelected. And
me
so
too.
If you just imagine what he's been able to accomplish fighting against a Democratic House that was even gone, had even gone so far as to impeach him. And just imagine if you had a Republican-controlled House that was going to help to ensure we did things like, you know, provide funding that's necessary for the border wall, that was going to help ensure that we were able to provide, you know, additional tax cuts to get economic growth going again. A House that actually was putting into place his policies and helping support the legislation that we know is necessary for the country instead of, you know, being an obstacle at every moment. I think it'll make a tremendous difference.
Do you think impeachment is going to come back up?
Boy, I think the Democrats right now understand that they, you know, that the country does not appreciate sort of, you know, naked partisanship and that what they've managed to show people is you can't trust them with power. And when, you know, Nancy Pelosi lectures everybody about impeachment being a somber occasion, and then, you know, she's giddy handing out impeachment pens, the American people see through that, and they're pretty sick of it. So I you never can tell with these folks. They're absolutely blinded by their hatred of President Trump. But I think that what it's done is show people that it's really important that we not give them more time and power and not give her more time in the speaker's chair.
I've got to tell you that I really enjoyed working with your dad when I was in the Reagan White House and involved in Reagan Bush 84. I have to tell you a story.
Well,
we did a briefing for all of the cabinet and members of Congress from the campaign, where you had Dick Worthlin talking about polls, Ed Rollins talking about our strategy, and I was talking about the surrogates, and your dad was part of the class we called the Young Turks. And so I was sitting there talking to Alan Simpson, who's a very good friend of the campaign, and so
yeah.
Your dad walks up to us while we're talking, and Alan Simpson, in that very comical, playful way, he put his arm around your dad and said, "Well, some of them are Young Turks and some of them are seasoned Turks." They're talking about your dad. And Alan Simpson just has such an incredible sense of humor.
He does. He's really, really a wonderful friend. And I always think about that when Wyoming's delegation was Alan Simpson and my dad and Malcolm Wallop, is the tremendous work that they got done for our state. But Al's a wonderful guy and a dear friend, as is his wife, Ann.
Well, there you have a great state. I did Reagan's trip in 1982 for a while up there, and where I first met your dad, and it was amazing. The arena, it wasn't quite the Trump rally size, but we had people standing out in lines there because Wyoming is just Reagan country through and through.
That's absolutely right. And I think about President Reagan a lot, particularly now when you've got, you know, Bernie Sanders saying that, praising Fidel Castro. And, you know, think about the millions of people around the world who came to understand what America was about because of Ronald Reagan, because of the speeches he gave, because of his commitment to freedom. And, you know, just contrast that hope that he gave people that live behind the Iron Curtain or live in Cuba with, you know, my goodness, Bernie Sanders. I mean, just, you know, embracing Fidel Castro, and he's now, like, tripled down on it, so...
Well, Reagan loved
those days.
Reagan loved to tell jokes about communism and the failure of communism. He would be just, he would go crazy watching Bernie Sanders today. And I know Reagan would love to take him on. Congresswoman, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I know Bradley Burns appreciates your endorsement and your support, and I appreciate you spending some time with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liz Cheney. Third highest-ranking Republican in Congress, and also the highest-ranking woman Republican in Congress. Going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm Cam Ward, and as a Republican candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court, I want to tell you what I believe. God, my family, and my country are the three most important things in my life. My philosophy is simple. The legislature should make laws. Judges interpret the law, not the other way around. The Second Amendment absolutely matters. Violent criminals should be kept behind bars as long as possible. And elections do matter. On March 3rd, I'm asking you to vote for me, Cam Ward, to take these values to the state Supreme Court.
Paid for by Cam Ward for Justice, P.O. Box 1749, Alabaster, Alabama.
Alabama weather will never fail to surprise you. Our lawns hardly get a chance to have any downtime. And as usual, it's already time to start getting ready for spring. This year, save the hard work and aggravation and call Alabama Lawns, the River Region's leader in weed control and fertilization services. What makes Alabama Lawns the River Region's best? It's the people. They have the experience, education, and commitment to customer satisfaction. Ask your neighbors. Alabama Lawns has been the Montgomery Advertiser's Reader's Choice Award winner 8 years in a row. The Alabama Lawns staff is made up of long-term employees and agronomy graduates, and the staff at Alabama Lawns attend annual continuing education classes. It pays to have someone that knows southern grass types and how to keep them green and flourishing. Call Alabama Lawns today at 272-7171 and let them show you real value in lawn maintenance service. Alabama Lawns, the company with black trucks and green lawns. 272-7171.
Hey, y'all, Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar. Let me invite you down here. It's on the river to the Capital Oyster Bar where we cook up fresh seafood, fried, steamed, and grilled. If you had never been here, we're easy to get to right off I-65. Take that North Boulevard exit, then the first exit is Louisville Street. Hit the bottom of the ramp and turn right and turn right and turn right again. That's three times. You'll find us cooking up fresh seafood. We also got an RV park down here. We got room for you. Bring your bus down here and spend a couple of days or spend a week or two. That way, all you got to do is walk over here to the restaurant. Or you can get down here to this ever-flowing big old giant Alabama River and check it out. Also, let me tell you, you can get down here on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock and with your dining pleasure, you also get some fine killer music. This week out of Nashville, we got the Logan Ramp Band. That's right, Logan Ramp come first time down here bringing his band with him. Looking forward to some good blues, some good Sunday afternoon cooking some good food. Check it all out at CapitalOysterBar.com or our Facebook page. You'll see what's going on. We're having a good time. We've been missing you. Get down here soon and come on. Hungry.
Many times I said we would drain the swamp, and that's exactly what we're doing right now.
But President Trump can't drain the swamp by himself. Here in Alabama, we have two candidates for Congress who are part of the swamp. Jeff Coleman was sued by the DOJ for defrauding the military. And while Troy King was attorney general, he solicited political favors from a target of his office's investigation. Jeff Coleman and Troy King embody self-serving politics as usual. Only Terry Hasdorf will help President Trump drain the swamp. Hasdorf is pro-life, pro-gun, pro-family, pro-wall, and doesn't care about pleasing the political class. Terry Hasdorf is a true conservative Republican we can trust. Help President Trump drain the swamp. On Tuesday, March 3rd, vote Terry Hasdorf for Congress.
Making Congress Great Again PAC is responsible for the content of this ad. Paid for by Making Congress Great Again PAC and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.makingcongressgreatagain.com.
While you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and America's Car Mart are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Bring your donations to America's Car Mart in Montgomery and Prattville. Experience what it's like to be treated like family. It's our annual Pod Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and America's Car Mart.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. I want to thank Congresswoman Liz Cheney for calling in today. That was an interesting conversation with her. She's somebody, folks, to keep an eye on. She is an up-and-coming lady.
Yes.
And will be a principal player on the political scene in decades to come. I promise you. I've had the pleasure of working with her dad. Her dad is great. And but she, for her to move up as fast as she did into the chair of the Republican caucus, that is really big. And so
yes.
She's on the glide path for something pretty, you know, particularly if they take over the House and she stays number three, that's a big position.
Right, and maybe in the future a Senate position for her herself, these sorts of things.
Yeah, she ran in 2014.
I think so. Enzi, yeah, took him on.
And it was, well, she was going to run, and then she stopped because they said, don't do that, because it might screw things up here. Let's get back into business. Let's see which way we want to go here. Coronavirus, what do you say? Coronavirus, what do you say? Let's listen to Nancy Cordes talk about the coronavirus.
The CDC says Americans should begin preparing for a likely coronavirus pandemic now. The agency says an outbreak in the U.S. is inevitable, and the disruption to everyday life may be severe. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill, where lawmakers were briefed yesterday. Nancy, this sounds very serious. Is it being taken seriously on the Hill?
It is, Tony, and that CDC warning ran counter to what the president said, which is that everyone with coronavirus is getting better. Now, some lawmakers from both sides are questioning the administration's preparations for this virus, even as the White House argues that it's Democrats and the media who are trying to, quote, disturb the American people with fearful rhetoric.
The coronavirus, which is... you know, very well under control in our country.
Even as the White House downplayed the disease,
we have tightly controlled this.
CDC officials warned an outbreak could be inevitable.
Now, it's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but rather more a question of exactly when this will happen.
They don't have a plan.
Lawmakers from both sides challenged the White House Tuesday on its $2.5 billion budget for fighting coronavirus.
If you lowball something like this, you'll pay for it later.
You're the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, sir.
And you can't tell me if we have enough respirators.
And its plan for stockpiling supplies.
We have enough face masks.
We, for the Department of Homeland Security, we
do. I'm not asking for the Department of Homeland Security.
Are you looking?
I'm asking for the American people.
For the entire American public?
Yes.
No, I would say probably not.
That was Kennedy from Louisiana. The one before that was Shelby, one of my favorite names, Shelby from Alabama, who's head of appropriations. It's a big job. Let's continue on. Nancy Cordes on the U.S. and the coronavirus and the fears of it.
Other countries have struggled to curb the virus. Italy now reporting more than 350 cases. South Korea has reported nearly 1,300. In Iran, the deputy health minister himself has contracted the virus. The country has the highest death toll outside of China.
It seems to be getting worse, not better.
President Trump predicted that a vaccine is right around the corner. Health officials disagreed.
When you're talking about the availability of a vaccine, even to scale it up, you're talking about a year to a year and a half.
Those mixed messages causing some confusion on Capitol Hill.
The public's getting a very different message from the White House, which is saying this is all but contained.
Well, I can't comment on what the White House has been saying on this, because the people who work for the White House are not saying that.
But that is exactly what the White House is saying. The HHS secretary argued yesterday afternoon that because the number of cases here in the U.S. has barely changed over the past 2 weeks, the virus is contained in the U.S., at least for now.
So that's Nancy Cordes. We're going to have Steve Scalise is going to talk about it. As I said, that was Senator Shelby. But let me go to a break and come back so we can get... finish this off, plus some other things that we need to talk about. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
You don't have to talk all night. I'm a man who can't say no. You don't have to twist my arm.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Well, listen to that trombone. That's Bob Rogers. He's a musician, an electrician, small businessman, and a hard worker. Just the kind of guy you want to send to Congress to represent you. Not a millionaire, not a lawyer, a hard worker just like you are. Elect Bob Rogers to Congress.
I am Bob Rogers. I paid for and approve this message.
Quick question. When you leave work, who do you trust to clean up after you? Are they consistent, efficient, on time? And have they been cleaning here for over 30 years? If you answered no to any of those questions, then it's time to go to JannyKingCleans.com and switch to Janie King, the king of clean, for a cleaner office, medical facility, school, building, church, venue, and even stadiums. Go to JannyKingCleans.com now and make the switch today. That's JannyKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the king of clean.
March 3rd, voters in Autauga County Commission District 1 will have the opportunity to move the district forward or keep the status quo. Paul Beckman is ready to serve the district and turn around the failing infrastructure, help get a fair share of funding, and help our schools. Paul's not a part of the good old boy network, and there'll be no quid pro quo. Paul Beckman will be the voice that fights for what's best for Autauga County Commission District 1. Vote Paul Beckman, March 3rd.
I'm Paul Beckman, and I approve this message. Paid for the Friends of Paul Beckman at 1803 Garrett Drive, Prattville, Alabama, 36066.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Hi, this is Carol Kennedy with Camo Country, and we've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for many years, and we appreciate Blue Water Broadcasting helping promote Camo Country.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Federal health officials warning Americans need to start planning for more aggressive measures to fight coronavirus. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health.
Although things are under control now, we need to be prepared for the eventuality that we will have cases here that may turn into community spread.
President Trump is holding a news conference at the White House in a few hours to discuss U.S. coronavirus plans. A Massachusetts utility company to pay millions for breaking safety laws linked to natural gas explosions in three cities in 2018.
Columbia Gas of Massachusetts is now being held criminally and financially accountable for its conduct and will be forced to pay a $53 million penalty.
Special Agent Joseph Bonavolanto with the FBI, one person was killed in the explosions. America is listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru.
Hi, everybody. Mostly cloudy, breezy today. A few spotty showers possible as the latest cold front sweeps through the state. Highs in the upper 50s, but dropping by late afternoon and this evening to the 40s. We'll end up with an overnight low temperature down to about 31, but the morning wind chill by dawn down to the low 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine, but rather raw. High 49, a little breezy. Down to 29 by first thing on Friday morning. Friday's high in the upper 50s to around 60, a windy day. Then colder again with the next front on Friday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We're redesigning financial freedom at CBNS Bank. Make purchases at participating stores and restaurants using your CBNS Bank debit card through your mobile device with Mobile Wallet. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
That's where we are. Okay, so Nancy Cordes was giving us the CBS factor here. And again, the stock market is basically functioning off of the fear. The economic unknown, as they would call it, in our morning call this morning. And stock market is down 71 points. It's wide at the 27,000 level. 27,000 is an important place to hold. We've broken what's called the 200-day and the 50-day average. And so those are major milestones of the 50-day average. And it takes a while to regenerate back from that. So now we have the deputy director of CDC, the Center for Disease Control, out of Atlanta. By the way, most people do not realize the headquarters, the big house for CDC, is in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is a huge complex. Listen in to this deputy director.
Dr. Ann Schuchat, principal deputy director of the Centers for Disease Control, joins us now from CDC headquarters in Atlanta. Doctor, as we just heard Nancy Cordes allude to, there's some mixed messages that seem to be coming at us on the coronavirus. On the one hand, you've got the White House saying it's tightly contained, and you've got the CDC saying the spread of the virus here is inevitable. What are we supposed to make of this?
You know, it could be a confusing time right now, as we've seen the coronavirus spread in China and now in a number of other countries. The good news is that here in the United States, the virus is contained. With an aggressive approach, we've been able to keep the numbers down, only 14 cases detected through our public health system and medical system, and 43 other cases detected among people repatriated from hotspots in China or on the cruise ship. But as we see outbreaks in Italy, in Iran, in South Korea, we need to be prepared in case things change here.
Dr. Schuchat, your if and when scenario was a little unsettling for a lot of people, because you said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Do you have a timetable in mind, and are you concentrating on a certain part of the country?
We really need to be ready everywhere. We've seen in other outbreaks that there can be what's called a popcorn pattern, where one community has an outbreak and another doesn't. You can see that that's what's occurring in Italy right now. Northern Italy has more disease that we're not really seeing it in other parts. So we cannot predict exactly where there may be community transmission. We can't say for sure if we will get community transmission, but based on what we're seeing in Europe and the Middle East, we think it's more likely than we thought a week or two ago.
Okay. So the president's going to be talking about this. I think he's doing a presser now versus talking to the nation, talking to the nation is too heavy for the subject matter. But he's going to be talking about what we're doing for it. So we're going to continue on with the deputy director of the Center for Disease Control on their strategy on corona.
Doctor, when you talk about the approach, what specific steps is the CDC taking to prevent a wider outbreak here in the U.S.?
We have been working aggressively on a border strategy at airports and on a strategy with clinicians to detect individuals who have this virus early and to manage them appropriately. We've learned a lot in the last few weeks about the virus. It doesn't seem to be as severe as we first feared, but it does seem to be quite transmissible. And some people have very mild symptoms or possibly even no symptoms at all.
We're hearing you say that the screening is in place for people who are coming here. What about people who might have already been infected and who are already here? What about those people?
Absolutely. One of the things we're doing is increasing what we call community surveillance so that we can find cases earlier, so that we understand whether there already is virus circulating that's been undetected.
Who is most at risk for getting infected by coronavirus?
Based on what we know so far, the severe cases are primarily occurring in the elderly, in adults with chronic conditions like diabetes or chronic lung disease. We haven't seen disease to any great extent in children, and that's a difference with seasonal flu or other influenza. One of the big drivers of our flu outbreaks each year is the high rates of illness in children, but we haven't seen that with this virus, something we're on the lookout for, but that hasn't been detected so far.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Anonymous. Anonymous, welcome aboard the Damar Show on a Wednesday.
Good afternoon, Dan and George.
How are you?
I'm doing good. There's a large Korean population here with businesses and communities.
There is.
And because I work around them, there's Koreans flying in from the district that has this virus in and out every day. So between Alabama and Georgia, I feel like that virus can pop up any time.
Okay. Yeah, I made that statement on Monday that with Hyundai and this thing popping up to 800 folks in South Korea, that's a big number in a very short period of time. But you gotta remember, you're talking about, if they're coming from Seoul, you're talking about 14 million population, with the population of those infected at 892. So,
yeah.
To do the math.
Yeah. But I was, you know, working in and out around these, some of the new Koreans come in, the ones that have been in the United States already starting to take precautions, wearing masks, hand sanitizers, everything.
Well, that's smart on their part, I guess.
Yeah. But that was my two cents, and I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Anonymous. Appreciate you. Let's do this. Newt Gingrich is going, well, let me try another way here. Let's do Steve Scalise, skip one and two, start with three on the coronavirus, and Shelby's comments.
Moving on to a headline in The Hill this morning, lawmakers raise alarms over Trump coronavirus response. Your colleague, Chairman Richard Shelby, Republican from Alabama, Senate Appropriations Committee, said that the White House's budget request to handle the disease was lackluster. Where is your level of concern with the coronavirus and the spread of it here at home, and how the White House is handling this?
Well, I think we all ought to be very concerned about the coronavirus, especially considering the fact that we can't get enough information out of China. We know that that's where the predominant number of cases are, but we don't know much about it, and we've tried to get that information. I think President Trump's administration has handled this incredibly well. Like I was here in Congress when you had the Ebola outbreak, and we had a very lackluster response. We could not get information out of the administration throughout Ebola, but what you're seeing, we've had a number of briefings by the administration, and President Trump's been very clear that he wants to. He's going to address the nation tonight, so you'll hear a lot more. But his health agencies, and I've met with his top health experts on coronavirus, they've offered to go and help in China. They've tried to get information from China on what's really happening there. And frankly, I think it's incredibly disappointing that China won't share that information, because there's a lot we can do to help save lives there and prevent it from spreading, not just in America, but throughout the world.
That's Steve Scalise, and talking about Shelby's comments. So let's continue on. It's going to be Shelby again, and Trump addressed tonight, and what's it all about?
So let's get specific in the last minute we have. To Sandra's point, a Republican, Richard Shelby, in the Senate is saying that $2.5 billion that the president wants for this emergency is not enough. Chuck Schumer is saying it should be $8.5 billion. Where do you think all this winds up? How much money do we need?
Well, Congress gets the opportunity to debate that. Chuck Schumer's never, by the way, laid out what he's for. He just wants to be against whatever the president's for. This is not a political issue. Coronavirus doesn't care about your party affiliation if it's going to strike. Luckily, we've been able to limit its influence coming into the United States, but we don't know ultimately what's going to happen because we can't find out all the information. Let's go and debate this here in Congress. The president has laid out a request. He's going to address the nation tonight. If Congress feels like more is needed, right, then we'll have a good, healthy debate here, and let's get it done.
Can you give us some idea of what we might hear from the president tonight?
Well, again, I think you're going to hear what the president and his administration have already done in terms of health and safety to ensure that the cases that we know about in other parts of the world don't end up here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a lot that we've offered to help China with and asked for information from China that they've not shared. Let's get the information out there, but people need to take all the normal precautions they would take during a heavy flu season, which we're also seeing, right, and that is wash your hands. Just be careful of your surroundings.
So Newt Gingrich was on also with Laura Ingraham last night, and let's do number three. And listen to this, because I really think there's some truth to this, blaming Trump on the corona.
The Democrats tonight actually did try to use the coronavirus to hit Trump. Watch.
The president fired the pandemic specialists in this country 2 years ago.
This president has not invested like he should have in his budget. He tried to cut back on the CDC.
We increased the budget of the CDC. We increased the NIH budget. We should have our president today, and he's wiped all that out.
This great genius has told us that this coronavirus is going to end in 2 months.
I don't know what he's talking about there. God bless him. But, Newt, how is this Trump's fault that the Chinese lost control of a deadly virus or, you know, other theories about what happened with that deadly virus?
First of all, a couple of weeks ago, I did a podcast on coronavirus, and we had Dr. Fauci, who is at the National Institutes of Health and probably the leading expert on viruses in the world, the man who first took on HIV/AIDS and has a long and remarkable career. The point he was making was this virus may behave like the flu. The flu comes and then leaves. And in the spring, you suddenly no longer have flu. And it's possible that as the weather warms up, the virus will just, this wasn't Trump, you know, sitting around making this up at Mar-a-Lago. He had been briefed by scientists who said there's a fair chance that sometime as the weather gets warmer, like flu, this virus will disappear. Now, the problem is it also will come back next year.
Yeah.
And so we can't slow down the effort to stop it. But let me be very clear, because as Speaker of the House, I actually helped double the budget of the NIH. I'm going to sound like Joe Biden for a second, all these things we once did in the past. But but the truth is, we did double the budget, and I've worked very closely ever since with the director of the National Institutes of Health. I actually got a lot of money for the Center for Disease Control. We have the most effective public health service in the world. The Center for Disease Control is the model for the planet. The National Institutes of Health has an enormous amount of resources, and they are all working collectively to solve this. We did an amazing job with Ebola, and I give Biden some credit. I think the Obama administration responded to Ebola correctly and effectively.
News Show 93.1 FM, that was a very important part of what he said about the podcast. The Democrats are going nuts talking about, well, this may be done in 2 months, the Trump statement. Well, it's because the weather's going to get better, and there's a belief that the coronavirus will respond like a normal virus, and that it will kind of subside during the summer months, spring and summer months, and hopefully that will be the case. That's all Trump was talking about. Going to be back with more right after this.
We need your home, we need you near. Come back while warm, will you? How can we live without your love? You know that could kill you.
The Dan Morris Show.
Know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Most of us love to make buying decisions based on referrals from others. We've built our company on the compliments and referrals of our great customers. Hi, this is Terry for Weedman Lawn Care of Montgomery. Our golf course quality timed release products feed lawns for months, not days. We make your yard greener, thicker, more kid-friendly. Strive to be weed-free and do so with an environmentally sound approach to lawn care. But more importantly, you might want to hear what others say about their experience with us. Carlos C. says, Weedman prices for service are very competitive. The difference is you get the best service in the area. I highly recommend you call and get a quote from Weedman. Thanks, Carlos. Weedman is recommended by landscapers, golf course superintendents, and people like Chara S., who gushes. Weedman is very professional, timely, courteous, knowledgeable. I could keep going, but you get the point. I've used other lawn care services, but Weedman exceeds them all. That's quite a compliment. Go to WeedmanUSA.com for a free quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Go to WeedmanUSA.com. Today.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. That's where we are. Don't forget, Fresh Market has the premium porterhouse steak that is on sale. Take advantage of that. They also have the corned beef brisket that you can get if you're kind of getting into that St. Patty's mood. Takes a little patience to cook it correctly, but it's really, really good. Not to mention prime London broil, which is another one, if you spend the time with it, is really, really good. Let's see which way we want to go here. Let's see, we did number three. You know, News is going to talk about the Dems cheering on the falling of the economy. And this is exactly right. I noticed this, particularly when CNBC does a transition over, the later people come in, the more this is Trump's fault type thing. Let's listen in.
The difference here is that China's involved. That's the big difference. And we don't know who patient zero is. And they just kicked out four Wall Street Journal reporters. Well, some of whom were snooping around, want the facts. I mean, so we're not dealing with Britain and like our good friends. We can share information. It's a little different deal than some of the other things in the past. But the idea that the Democrats are so desperate to have anything on Trump, they almost seem to be cheerleading what's going on with the economy. When the economy goes down, they're happy. When the economy's going up, they're miserable. It's unbelievable.
Well, and then frankly, I've said for the last couple of days, the president's biggest challenge is to have his economic team looking at what are the logistics links to China that could, in fact, cause us to have a slowdown in our own economy, not the direct effect of the virus, but the indirect effect, which is that the Chinese economy right now has ground to a halt. I mean, there are whole cities where nobody's going to work. And a lot of those cities produce things that are important.
Maybe they shouldn't produce those things.
For example, parts that come in you have to have.
Yeah, well, maybe we should bring back some of that manufacturing that means, into the United States.
Right, but Trump had better make sure if that's what we need to do, we better do it fast enough that you don't suddenly have a recession in August, September, October.
You got
and
it.
And that's I'd worry about that more than I'd worry about the epidemic.
That is really important. Excuse me, because if the economy is. Everything that Trump is doing right now, all the polling that you're looking at, the ability for Ohio and Florida and places like that to be in the Trump corner mainly is because of the economy. Robert, welcome aboard the Demo Show. Your own.
Hey, thanks for taking me. Hey, I called you a couple of weeks ago and told you about a tag that I ordered.
Trump
phone tag.
Yeah.
I just tried to post it onto your Facebook or maybe through your Messenger or something if you'll take a look at it.
Excellent. So
make sure everybody gets it shared out there. So everybody, Alabama's all Trump.
There you go, my friend. Congratulations on getting your tag. You got it pretty fast.
I did. It only took a couple of weeks. So I was glad to see it come in today.
I appreciate you sharing that with me, and I'll look it up on my Facebook page.
Okay. Hey, Sweet Creek, can I get in on that?
You can, you lucky dog. Give me your month and day of birth.
4/3.
You got it. Let me go to the phones. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on with Dan Morris and Joey Clark.
Yes, sir. Listen, I really enjoyed the interview with Liz Cheney. She gave me just enough of a nudge to go with the Senator Byrne there. I was kind of leaning towards Tuberville, but I think she's convinced me.
Oh, wow. That's a persuasive lady then. That's good.
Yeah. Can I get on the Sweet Queek?
You can. Give me your month and day of birth.
12/10
it is, my friend. 12/10. You got it.
Enjoy the show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you an awful lot. Let me see the clip, see what we can get in here before I take off to go take Clarence to see Kate Armstrong and Montgomery Veterinary Associates. Really looking forward to seeing Kate and getting Benji. I keep saying Clarence. Benji checked out here. I tell you what, that's my problem. When you have a dog that long, that's what happens to you. Let's do this. Let's go back into Newt talking about Bernie in the debate as a whole. This is interesting.
Newt, your big takeaway. Did they land a glove on old Bernie?
Oh, I think they landed a couple of gloves on Bernie, but it may not have mattered. But what struck me, Clist and I watched it tonight, and I was really struck with Bernie looks crazed. I mean, if you were trying to do a Saturday Night Live episode, I don't know who you'd get to play Bernie, because with the glasses and the intensity and all that stuff, he looks like he's just sort of, he's the uncle who comes to Sunday lunch having had too much to drink and then starts lecturing you about these ideas he's had his whole life. At the same time, I actually thought Bloomberg was better than he was last week. He had gained ground. He was clearer. He was more decisive. But the big takeaway is here are all these people looking like children having this nasty little argument. And here's Donald Trump with 120,000 people in a stadium. And you say to yourself, I mean, none of these folks right now are communicating the kind of stature that would let them compete with Trump. I thought for the Democrats as a party, tonight was just one more disaster.
Bingo, that's it. That was missing. And when he said that, I went, yep. What they're missing is the communications factor. They do not have it. It's non-existent. Trump does. What Trump did in India was really amazing. And he actually is getting them to drop their tariffs that they're doing, which is a pretty major. Harley-Davidson is twice the price because of the tariffs that's put on there. It's a very big motorcycle population that's over there, and they want their motorcycles, not Harleys. Let's stay with Newt talking about the Dems not going after Bernie and then going after them.
Going after Bernie, but they're not really making the case, Newt, as to why his policies, his ideas, his plans are disastrous. And they would be anti-growth, hurt prosperity, hurt savings, hurt investment. They're kind of just saying, well, that would be an outrageous campaign to have. But they don't go into why this is bad. And for that reason, I think they didn't succeed against Sanders. I think Sanders comes out of this debate the winner tonight. It's not wishful thinking. This is my, I'm objectively looking at this. I don't think they laid any really substantial glove on Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's Larry David. So what? Larry David's really funny. He's kind of the grumpy old guy, tells you to get off his lawn. I mean, people love that.
Here's the problem that the Democrats now have. They really are the left-wing radical party in America. And that means in their cocktail parties and their fundraisers and sitting around chatting, they all believe basically what Bernie believes.
Yeah.
So they have no framework to take him on. And the result is, and you saw this tonight, I mean, several times people said, oh, we're really for progressive solutions. We're really kind of all on the same team. Well, if they are all on the Bernie team, this election could be one of the great disasters for the Democratic Party in the history of the entire party. Because I think once you get down to what Bernie really means and what he would do to you and your budget and your family, I think they end up in a catastrophic disaster.
That they will. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And I keep doing this until I get it right. Grab your dough. The great.